Ing's sister. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia. May 7th, 1896. Dear Sister Ings, I received your letter and read it with pleasure. I cannot write much now, as the books so essential to be gotten out need my time. The life of Christ needs to be out. One is now ready for publication, and the other must have my time at once. I cannot leave here for Africa or America until these books are completed. You speak about the goods sent to me. I did think it was strange that such a mess of things were sent that I never sent for. Crockery of any common order should never be sent so far. Goblets such as we have in America are never seen here. In the place of putting a few choice things in the drawers with the rolls of cotton, things were packed in a very careless manner and were smashed all to pieces. I did not send for the bedsteads. The marble slabs cost a great deal to transport, and those immense walnut bedsteads should never have been sent. I sent for my wicker chairs that are light and easily transported, but they never came. I do not know who packed these goods. The largest mirror sent was broken into many pieces. Instead of being put securely between boards, these looking glasses were packed back to back in such a way that they would have broken had they been sent but a short distance. But all this is, I think, of small account. I may be back to America, but cannot tell. I want to have clear light. My memory is good, my mind clear, and my health better than it has been for many years. All who came up to Kooranbong are doing excellently well health-wise. Ella and Mabel are useful, industrious girls. The other day I went in where May Lacey White lives close by us, and Ella was just taking out of the oven 5 or 6 loaves of nicely baked bread. These she had made herself. They do not find much time for play. Mabel is keen in perception. She understands what is wanted, and is ever ready to think and supply the forgetfulness of others. Both have grown wonderfully since coming to Australia. Ella weighs 107.5 pounds. She has gained 24 pounds since leaving San Francisco. Mabel has not been weighed, but she is nearly as large as Ella. They have outgrown all their clothing, are robust and solid in flesh, cheeks red, and show unmistakable improvements in their entire physical structure. You speak of warm weather. We had a few warm days in December and in January. These are not melting days. I never was in a climate more even and healthful than New South Wales. New Zealand is also beautiful. I enjoyed it there, but Kooranbong has a beautiful, healthful climate. There is but little sickness here, and no physician living in Kooranbong, but there is scarcely anything for one to do. We were much worried to know how we would get along with May Lacey White's confinement. We thought we would have to send to Sydney or Newcastle, or else send her down to Sydney. But Willie consulted the physician in Newcastle, 25 miles from Kooranbong. He said there was a woman who attended such cases, and since she had come to Kooranbong, he had never had a call to that place. He assured us that we could trust any case in her hands. We did as we were told, and all went off splendidly. The nurse knew that there were 2 children to be born, but she wisely kept the knowledge to herself until the first child was born. May then said, "I am so thankful that I am through." "But," said Mrs. D, "there is another child to be born." Sure enough, W.C. White has 2 boys. The firstborn weighed 6.5 pounds, and the second 5.5 pounds. I have never seen infants with such perfectly round heads. Their foreheads are prominent and perfect in shape. Sarah was with May White all the time and took charge of her. The nurse came only 2 after the children were born. The babies are now 1 month and 1 day old. They are very good children, and yet May has her hands full. for both require attention at once. Mabel has given away both her dolls. She says she does not want dolls now, for she has two living dolls to take care of. The little girls are so much pleased, they do not know how to express themselves. We would be much pleased to have you and your husband come to Australia. We have no fog here, except occasionally there may be a little mist, but it lasts only a few hours, and then the sky is clear again. I think it would be a blessing, health-wise, for you to be here. I cannot tell you how much Sarah has gained, but she was never so fleshy in all her life as now. I have no rheumatism here. We are surrounded by a variety of gum trees, and these may help us health-wise. Our home is on a cleared spot of land in the forest. If you decide to come, we will be more than pleased to see you, and will link up with you as of old. I think the school would like to have a matron and a good cook. Do you know of a superior cook whom you could recommend? At present, we have in our family Marion Davis, Eliza Burnham, Sarah Belden, Sarah McEntifer, May Israel, Brother Connell, Edith Ward, and Maggie Hare. Sarah Belden does the cooking. Edith Ward is a little girl, 14 years old. She washes the floors, cleans the vegetables, washes the dishes, etc. She is active, willing, and very helpful. We like her very much. May Israel is my bookkeeper, and Maggie Hare is my stenographer. Fanny's health has failed, and she leaves us today for America. Brother Connell is our hired man, as faithful as the day is long, a young man of good, solid sense. Just now we are much perplexed over the question of means. We want to commence the school here, and I've sent to Africa for the loan of some money, on which I will pay interest. We cannot go on with our school building unless we have means. We are hoping and praying that the Lord will open the way for the school buildings to go up, but we shall need to do all in our power to keep things in operation. Camp meetings must be held in the suburbs of our large cities. This does more for our work and its advancement than any other kind of labor, as the influence is felt by so large a number.